that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has the fruit of the tree yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that creeps on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message can be seen on the slide. It's very simple. The creation of mankind, the dominion mandate. The creation of mankind and the dominion mandate. So last Sunday in Genesis 1, we studied how God created the atmosphere, oceans and seas, land, the sun, the moon, the stars, birds, fish, plants, and land animals. It took Almighty God only 4 days to create all of this. God spoke that it happened, and it happened. God can do it because he is God. He has all the power and keeps his created universe under his sovereign control. After creating land animals, the Lord God created something special. Or it is more accurate to say someone special. With the creation of man, the creation account reaches its climax. With the creation of man, the creation account reaches its climax. Let us pray. Bow for a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just praying for your richly blessings upon this word, upon this message. Let it bear much fruit in our lives, because we're living in such a confused, in such a chaotic times. We're living in the latter days before your second coming, Lord Jesus. The world around us is in a big mess. There's so much mess in the hearts and minds of people living around us. And even sometimes as your children, children of light, we can be tempted, we can be confused to believe some kinds of lies and heresies which are thriving around us. And we're constantly being bombarded by all those new theories and ideologies from the old past. Lord, we're just praying for your holy protection at the very heart level, at the very thoughts level. Lord, keep us safe and just, Lord, remind us from your word this Sunday morning that we have everything in you, what we need for the life of godliness. If we have Jesus, if we have you, Lord, and our Savior by faith, we have absolutely everything, and we're lacking nothing. That's what we ask and pray for in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. So, point number one of this message sounds like this. The creation of the first human beings, verses 26 and 27. Let me say this before we go into the text, into those verses. Let me just make a statement, and it's a very common one. It's not like discovering new continent. It used to be very simple, very straightforward. 50, 60, 70 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, in this beautiful and vast country of Canada, it was simple. The Bible says so, the Bible teaches so, God created humankind, God created the first man and the first woman, and it seemed like everybody in the society was in the agreement with this biblical truth, with the biblical statement. Nowadays, we're living in a more and more hostile culture toward biblical, Bible-believing Christians, but we need to stand. We can stand firmly on the Word of God. The creation of the first human beings, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Right away, I would like you to notice a huge contrast between how God created animals and humans. When God created animals, he gave a command, let the earth bring forth. Chapter 1, verse 24. Let the earth bring forth. But when God created man, a human being, he said, let us make man. I hope that you remember that word for God in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim, means he is one, but more than one person God. So this very verse 26 tells us that in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit counsel together to create man. It sounds, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. It's an amazing, it's a very powerful verse, this verse 26. Man, Adam, in the original Hebrew language, literally means son of the red earth, Adam, Adama. Now, these two English short words, us, our. The use of personal and possessive pronouns in the plural form clearly indicates or refers to the Trinity of God, the triune nature of God. The very name of God, Elohim, Genesis 1:1, is a plural form of El. Now, we really need to study these phrases in our text. In our image, according, in other English translations, according to our likeness. And what they mean in the context of the Bible. Subpoint A. Made humankind in the image of God. In the image of God. Whenever you see, whenever you watch, observe another human being, a child, an infant, an adult, a senior, middle-aged person, keep in your heart, in your mind, this very statement from the Bible. This is another God's image bearer. Whenever we are angry, mad, crazy, whenever we kill other human beings, keep in your mind this biblical statement, this biblical truth. He or she is another God's image bearer, including infants, including babies in mothers' wombs. The animals were not created in God's image. Only human beings were. So what does it all mean? Well, next time when you go to Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto zoos and have a conversation with some apes, you will quickly learn what it means that not animals are made in the image of God, but humans only. You can try all human languages with them. There's no way to communicate with those big apes. Only human beings can use their minds to exercise logic and reason. I was stunned. Yesterday I played chess with a gentleman, First Nation man, maybe he is 80 years old, and I barely ended a game in a draw with a guy. So much logic, so much just strategy. I was like, wow. I wish at the age of 80 I would be able to think, I mean, plainly, not just playing a complicated game. Only human beings can use their minds to exercise logic and reason. Only humans can use language to communicate needs and listen and abstract ideas. Only humans. Animals can use objects as tools, yes, but human beings create tools and use tools to make other tools. That's a big difference. Humans can design and build different types of architecture, invent machines, even artificial intelligence, AI, write music and play musical instruments and create beautiful paintings. When did you last time see a gorilla or chimpanzee just creating a canvas or portrait of something? Human beings have a conscience in a judge, knowing right and wrong. In fact, there's a verse in Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, Romans 2, 15, in that they demonstrate the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. their conscience bearing witness. Let me remind you something, dear friends, at this point. If you think that your current pastor has always been a Christian, Bible-believing fellow, no, unfortunately not. But I remember when I had a conflict with my parents, with my brother, with my friends, especially with my parents, after the conflict, after some domestic fight and verbal and what any kind of abuse, I felt so wretched, so poor right here in my soul. I felt so broken that I said something wrong to my dad or to my mom or to my brother. I felt bad. I felt wretched. Why? Because God placed this inner judge, the conscience, which bears witness that there is Creator who created us. To cut a long story short, no matter how intelligent some animals may appear to be, horses, dogs, dolphins, cats, parrots, wolves, apes, etc., or how much they are taught, animals are not granted with the image of God as are humans. Your pet can be a good and faithful friend, and you can love it very much. However, my dear ones, based on God's word, the Holy Bible, I must tell you this, love human beings more than animals. Look first of all about the needs of other human beings and then animals. And remember that your husband or your wife, if you're married, is not a pet. Your spouse, your child, your neighbor is created in the image and likeness of God. He's another God image bearer. Just treat him or her accordingly. God's image is in that person. The image of God makes man God's representative on earth. And remember always that because man is God's representative, his life is sacred. Human life is sacred. Human life is sacred. Every assault on man is an insult to the Creator and deserves the ultimate penalty. There's a passage in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. That passage says, Genesis 9, 5 and 6, "Surely I will require your lifeblood from every living thing. I will require it. And from every man, from each man's brother, I will require the life of man." In other words, nobody has any right to kill other human beings unless it's the ultimate penalty for intentional, for planned, pre-planned murder. In verse 26, we can clearly see the dominion mandate given by God to mankind. Verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, so that they will have dominion, they will have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So what does it all mean? It means that we can and we should use the resources God has placed in His creation, but we should not abuse it. But we're allowed by God, Creator God, to use all natural resources. For instance, there's a verse in Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, 1 says, "The earth is Yahweh's," or the Lord's, "as well as its fullness, the world, and those who dwell in it." Ultimately speaking, yes, we have private property, provincial, national parks, yes, yes, yes. But ultimately, biblically speaking, the whole earth belongs to the Lord. He created this earth. It is His. It is not ours. However, man's dominion did not extend at creation to other humans. We should never treat other human beings as objects or animals. This is a key reason why such activities as slavery, exploitation, discrimination, segregation, abortion, and artificial human cloning are evil. These all place man in dominion over other men created in God's image. It's wrong. It's biblically wrong. As humans, we're not the plague on the earth. The earth and all that is in it was created by God for humankind to use. Luke chapter 12, verse 7 says, second half of verse 7, Luke 12, 7b. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Whenever we have those fears, Lord, what's coming next? What am I going to eat or drink? Where will I sleep next week, next month, next year? Remember that God looks after your foundational needs. Do not fear. You're more valuable than many sparrows. God tells us in His Word, the Bible, how this world will end. It will not be due to overpopulation or abundance of greenhouse gases or supposed man-made climate change. This is not what the Bible is teaching us. God will end this world with a judgment of fire. 2 Peter 3:10 says, that's quite a verse, 2 Peter 3:10 in the New Testament. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be found out. That'll be a horrific time when this world will be burnt, destroyed with intense heat. And please always remember the promise of God from Genesis 8:22. It's been just comforting, encouraging my soul just in recent years, all the time. Genesis 8:22, after the global flood. We can be confident in God's promise from Genesis 8:22, which says, while all the days of the earth remain, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. This is a promise from Almighty God, Creator God. No matter what we hear on the news, no matter what we read in print or any source of media, God promised after the global catastrophic flood that the summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. No worries. Fall is coming. Winter is coming. It is coming to our parts of the world. And the days will be changing. So right now it's almost 12 o'clock. There'll be night. Night is coming because God said so. Man can never and will never destroy planet Earth. God will. When the time comes to him to judge this fallen world for the rebellion, unbelief, immoralities, and all kinds of idolatry, God is a superior judge, and he's coming soon to make things right. God gave man dominion over the animals and the environment. So wherever we, in recent days, drove to town and back to town, to Thornhill, we could see a bunch of fishermen just standing up to their waist in the waters of Skinner River, just trying to catch something. Why? It's biblical. We hunt for bears. Sometimes you can say bears hunt for people. No, there's bear hunting. I've never read in any encyclopedia yet that it's like bears, intentionally or deliberately hunt for humans. We have not lived to that crazy period in human history yet. We hunt. Subpoint B. God made two types of human beings, verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Now listen, it's just mind-blowing. Male and female, he created them. God, creator, made only two genders. After the service, not right now, I know many of you have data on your phones. Check how many genders officially are recognized nowadays in our beautiful land of Canada. Check. We're just out of curiosity. How many genders? A human being is either male or female. A female cannot change into a male, and a male cannot change into a female. Just look around. We're a small congregation at this point in our history. Whom can you see around? You can see some beautiful, or all our women are beautiful, and you can see all our guys are handsome. But they're guys and women, right? Boys and girls around. God put the information into the DNA of the first two people so that one was male and the other female. In males, 2 out of 46 chromosomes, the 23rd pair, are labeled XY. In females, the 23rd pair is labeled XX. So men have an XY and women have an XX. So it doesn't matter what whosoever is telling you something, ask that person to do a DNA test to find out the gender of that person. DNA test, it will show who that person is. Both genders bear the divine image, both genders, and likeness equally. And both genders were given the command to subdue the earth and exercise dominion. So dear ladies, girls, enjoy fishing and hunting as well as men. Because God gave this dominion to both, Adam and Eve and their descendant. So if there's nothing wrong if ladies are just lining up in the waters of Skinner River just catching for salmon. It's great. In verse 27, we can see that God designed marriage as a union between one man and one woman. And Jesus Christ quoted both Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24 to teach about marriage and divorce in Matthew 19, verses 3 to 9, and in Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 12. And I'm encouraging you, whenever you have time, today, tomorrow, read those New Testament passages about family, what Jesus, how Jesus quoted Genesis. Subpoint C, we're moving on. God told humans to bear children and populate the earth, verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that creeps on the earth." What's unclear about this verse? What else can it say to us? It doesn't say God blessed them and God said to them, "Abort your babies or use birth control and whatever." It says God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Well, many of you right away can say to me, "Well, wait a second. This world is so overpopulated." Let me disagree with you if you have such a thought. After the service, check the population of Canada and the square miles, the space of Canada. And you can go to many places in Canada to see that it's not overpopulated. We have lived in Manitoba for 12 years, and we've been to northern Manitoba and even some other parts, like nobody's there. Canola fields, and Andrew, when he was driving us to these beautiful parts of the world, in Saskatchewan, no traffic, just canola fields, wheat and barley, and nothing else for miles, even like no traffic. I was watching his YouTube channel, that episode, and for a few minutes, it was just our car, our van in front of this U-Haul truck. No traffic. Is it overpopulated? You can just drive with your eyes closed over there. So, here we see one of the major purposes of marriage. Those of you who are planning and dreaming and praying to get married, it is to bear children. This means that sexual intercourse is God's invention within a frame of marriage. It is part of God's creation. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For the sexually immoral and adulterous God will judge. In God's plan, both a father and a mother are needed to produce children. Can we say amen? Both are also needed to raise children. Can we say amen? I mean, ideally, I know, and if this is not the subject of this message, we're not teaching this Sunday about biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. It's a separate topic. And there is such a thing as becoming a widow or widower. But both are needed to raise children. However, we need to keep in mind that some people cannot have children due to some physical condition, and some others can please God by not getting married. If we take the Bible into the entire context, including New Testament, it is not for every Christian to be married. It is for the majority, yes, but not for everyone. How about this verse, 1 Corinthians 7:8. 1 Corinthians 7:8 says, "But I say to the unmarried and to widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I." Now, regardless of what we're told nowadays, the earth is not overpopulated. With proper management and care, there would be enough food produced to feed all the people. The problem is that a man is a sinner, and man's own selfish ambitions get in the way, and that is why many people starve and suffer. The sinfulness of man, the selfishness of man, those two prime factors are making people starve and suffer. Point number two, the diet assigned for humans and animals in the pre-flood world, verses 29 and 30. Then God said, "Behold, I've given to you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has the fruit of the tree yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that creeps on the ground which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Originally, men and women, men and animals, were vegetarian. Originally, there was no death, no violence, no bloodshed before the original sin, which happened in Genesis chapter 3. Only after the flood, mankind was given animals to eat after the flood. If you go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, that's what that verse says. Genesis 3:9. "Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. As with the green plant, I give all to you." And there is no indication in the New Testament that Christians, believers in God under the new covenant, are required to return to this pre-flood lifestyle of vegetarianism, if I said it right. There's no indication, there's no requirement for New Testament believers to return to this pre-flood lifestyle of vegetarianism. There's no indication, no requirement. So enjoy your steak after the service. If you're planning to have lunch, mashed potatoes, gravy, fried onion rings, and like a good piece of steamingly hot steak. My mouth is watering already. And finally, we're coming to verse 31, where God Creator calls his creation very good. "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." The end of day six finishes God's works of creation. Day seven of creation week is God's rest. The whole week will become a pattern for man's weeks. Even unbelievers, they have to admit this truth, the truth of this statement. Why do you guys ask for 1 or 2 days off? Why do you need to work for 6 days a week? Because we need to go back to the Bible, to the very beginning, to the Genesis of the gospel. Creator God set up this pattern for us to work and have some rest. That's why we're here in the church building on Sunday morning, to have some rest, to worship our Creator God, to bow down before his majesty, his holiness, all of that. Now, What can we conclude in terms of application from this passage in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31? Number one, humans were created by God, not by aliens, not by themselves out of nowhere. Human beings were created by God. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children." That was a sermon of Apostle Paul in Athens. "For in him we live and move and exist." Let it be a good, clear reminder for us all, including myself. In God we live and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, "For we also are his children." Point number two. Humans were created in God's image. And we've read those verses more than once this morning. Genesis 1, 26, 27. We were created in God's image. We have dignity. Every human being has a self-worth and dignity. Dignity. Four, God Creator deserves our worship, praise, and obedience. When we pray over the meals, when we see the sunshine and the rain provided, when we watch the change of seasons, we must lift our hearts to praise this amazing Creator for his faithfulness and generosity. He is so good to us, his creation. Five, humans must not or must be good stewards of God's creation, which means do not pollute, pick up your garbage, plant more trees. Whenever people talk about, oh, we're dying, the planet is burning, guys, plant more trees. If we have more CO2, it means we will have more plants, because plants need CO2 to produce oxygen. That's how it works. Grade 2 or 1 or 3 in your school curriculum. Plants need CO2. We'll have more plants if we have more CO2. If we have more plants, we'll have more oxygen. If you want to have more oxygen, plant trees. And don't pollute this planet Earth. Six. The first chapter of Genesis is a summary of the central message of the Bible. God is the sovereign creator, sustainer, redeemer, and lawgiver. And all he does is good. One more time, verse 31. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, our triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding us this Sunday morning how great, how powerful you are. You created us, human beings, males and females, to give you all the worship, honor, and glory. By our very existence, we owe everything to you, our Creator God. Not to Mother Nature, but to Creator God, who created us in his image and likeness, male and female.